B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com. He's kind enough to join us each week during the season, give us all his insights. Great football man himself. What's up, Jeff?
What's up? What's up, Anthony? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, my brother. Happy New Year. It's still kind of an emptiness from Sunday. I think a lot of people feel that way because of the hit and because of the nature of the game. It's like you didn't get a shot, right? You lost your starting quarterback. And if Carson, I know this is conjecture, but if Carson plays, don't you think they win?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's certainly hard to say without it actually happening. But what I saw on the field, the Eagles were the better team. And with Carson, that would have probably put them over the top, especially when you consider – you know, they were able to move the ball in the Seahawks and get into the red zone or close to the red zone. And that's kind of where Carson and this offense has done well this year.
Yeah.
I think they've ranked third in red zone production. So, you know, Carson can make those throws and zip them into tight circles as we saw before. You know, certainly, you know, for instance, the Redskins game when he that unbelievable pass to Miles Sanders in the back corner of the end zone. And with Josh McCown, I give him a lot of credit for what he did coming in there under the circumstances and what was at stake. But clearly, he just couldn't pull the trigger down there. And while some of that was on him, some of it's just on his lack of ability to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he was heroic in coming how he played, but he wasn't going to. They could give him 50 chances from the 10. He's not getting there.
Did he ever throw into the end zone? I don't think he threw
into the end zone. No. There were a couple times when he had a little space, like he escaped pressure, and you're thinking, all right, throw it. He still didn't throw it.
Yeah. I had to get on him because, you know, I thought he played pretty valiantly and hadn't played in a while. And for him to come out of retirement at this age and to finally play in the postseason and get his opportunity, and we all saw the way he reacted after the game and during the press conference. But that being said, just didn't get the job done.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the news conference today because we got so much to go over with you. Just give me your overall impressions, and then I want to get in a couple moments that really stood out to him.
Yeah, I mean, I think from Howie, this is the first time we've heard from Howie since right before the start of the season, so 4 months of kind of Howie hiding in the NovaCare bunker. But I thought this was one of his better news conferences. He seemed relaxed up there, and I think he knew what he had to do in terms of, okay, yeah, this wasn't good enough for us. Yeah, sure, we're a prideful of the way the season ended and what we've done over these last three seasons with Doug Peterson. That being said, I think Howie admitted some of the faults that were made in terms of the evaluations. He admitted that he kind of tends to fall in love with his own guys a little too much and viewed, you know, the window from after winning the Super Bowl in 2017 is closing. So, and I think that's what a lot of fans want to hear. They want to hear that the team is going to move on from some of these older guys, move on from some of these faces that weren't able to get it done over these next 2 years. And in the NFL, there really is no such thing as rebuilding. So while they do have some holes they have to fill, they still have a core group of players, that certainly starting with number one with Carson Wentz. And my impression is that some of the faces most of the fans don't want to see won't be back next year, and how we will spend this offseason building towards that.
All right. How about Doug? Let's dive into this. Because you guys did a great job, and rightly so, because he was definitive when it comes to Grow and Carson Walsh coming back, and yet when the subject came to Schwartz, he was ambiguous. And then he tried to wrap everything under the vein of, well, you know, I'm evaluating. Well, it didn't sound like he was evaluating earlier when he talked about his two offensive assistants.
Absolutely. I mean, you read it exactly the way I did. Anthony, it was an odd series of questions, and that's pretty much the only questions I think you have for Doug Peterson at this point in the offseason. What about your staff? What are you going to do about Mike Rowe, who clearly, you know, hasn't been, I think, the missing offensive piece that you were lacking when Frank Reich went to Indianapolis, and Carson Walsh, we've seen the production of the receivers. The Eagles have now been, they've had five receiver coaches over the previous 5 years. And I was a little surprised that he came out right away and said that definitively that they were back. And then he was later asked about Jim Schwartz and kind of danced around and made some few jokes about him flying back from Cleveland because he's interviewing there right now for the head coaching gig there. And, and I had to pin him on it. I mean, is he Jim coming back? And then kind of, as you mentioned, went into, we're still in the evaluation process and they're currently here. I said, well, you didn't say that when we asked you about Groh and Walsh. So my reading.
And then he went all Jessup on you, like he was Colonel Jessup on the stand. Right. I know what I said, which is his tell. When he's trying to spin something, it's a tell when he gets exasperated.
Yeah, I was surprised he wasn't prepared as well for this, or just maybe he was prepared. I'm sure he was. He certainly knew the questions were coming. He was prepared. Doug at times has kind of slipped up on the podium, and I think he did here. And I think he gave a tell that Jim's on the contract for 2020. So for him to leave, if he were to take a defensive coordinator job, he's not getting a head coaching job unless something really drastically changes in Cleveland. He's not getting that job.
And the same thing.
It could be that they're actually there really interviewing him to be a possible defensive coordinator.
I was thinking the same thing too. Yes.
Right. Or Josh McDaniels, who he knows through Bill Belichick.
Yes.
And maybe they would get 10. I don't know if this counts as a promotion, if they gave him like an assistant head coaching
tag.
Maybe that would kind of make it seem like, this is a better opportunity for Jim. This is why he's taking this job. Because it had to be a agreed upon mutual departure for Jim to leave. And, I've reported a lot about Jim, probably more than anybody.
Yes,
probably
you have.
Over the last several years. And while, love him or hate him, I think Jim's done a pretty good job considering some of the personnel, specifically the personnel he's had at cornerback. But there's more to Jim than just what he does in terms of game planning and play calling for defense. I mean, Jim is a big personality in that building. He has swag in terms of how they run their personnel department, certainly when it comes to the players that he uses the defensive side of the ball. And, he in some way steps into that head coaching mode because that's what he is and that's the person he has.
Yes, he does.
Jim's welcome could have been worn out, and this could be a signal that he is not coming back next season.
When Doug reacted the way he did, it's the first thing I thought about. Just the way we kind of talk it out that he's not coming back. That this is, and look, you have reported on this and perfectly about those two. And, he does rub. And don't get me wrong, I'm not shy because I'll tell you if I don't like what he's done, but I'll tell you he's a professional. I thought he coached his best year. This year, losing Malik Jackson, having to deal with all those injuries in the back end, I thought he was more creative with his pressures. I thought he called it an incredible. I loved what he did the last four games, too.
Yeah, I mean, there were certain games where I thought Jim didn't have a good day. But I think overall, I agree with you. I thought he had a good season. And I felt that way over the previous three seasons as well. I'm probably a little more of a Jim guy in terms of what he does as defensive coordinator. But that being said, I wouldn't say there's friction between Doug and Jim. But it's not like they're best friends, and this is a guy that Doug hired. I mean, Howie had Jim ready before Doug was even hired.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Jim was brought in to be Doug's defensive coordinator and to be there just maybe also in case he didn't pan out. Doug, of course, did pan out. But Jim was there waiting in the wings, and he certainly knew that when he was hired here.
That
caused some problems. Yes, that caused some problems.
There was a point after the first year, if you remember, after Doug's first season, where there was some talk about Jim before they went on that big run.
Right. There was the Mike Lombardi and Jim Schwartz are like best buddies. And there was the Mike Lombardi piece where he was just ripping Doug Peterson and saying things that appeared to come from in-house. And I'm talking to a bunch of players and people in the building who felt like that was almost Mike talking, almost being a conduit for Jim Schwartz and how he viewed Doug Peterson. That being said, I think if Jim was being calculating, he didn't realize the support that Doug had from the players. Doug just has the locker room. He's always had it and I've yet to see any indication that he is losing the locker room. I think that showed obviously in 2017. He showed in the first game of 2017 when they beat the Redskins and Doug got doused with Gatorade because of that, because of like Mike Lombardi and because of I guess also my report that about Doug and his future.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Now you're right on it. It's one of the things I think that makes him that part of coaching. He is great. He is a leader. His players love him. He is a great communicator. I mean, that's his strengths as a head coach are in the leading of men more so than the X and O.
Yeah. If I can interject real quick too.
Yeah,
please. If Jim goes, you know. I know there's a lot of people in the city who don't like him, and the grass is always greener on the other side, right?
Yeah.
The question now becomes, who do you replace him with?
Yep. Well, my guy's not
out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, your guy ain't going anywhere.
He's taken. Yeah.
But that's what they want. I mean, that's the question. Do they want that type of scheme, a 4-3 aggressive front, which is what Jim runs, what Jim Johnson ran, which is what Steve Spagnuolo has run at his various stops, or are they willing to do? But maybe a Wade Phillips 4-3 under, where Fletcher Cox would be the Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt piece in that scheme. But you know, you do need guys a little more outside linebackers on the outside.
You have no linebackers right now. Hey, what do you make? When we talk about this with callers and listeners and fans and we could just be not seeing something that's there just because we're on the outside. And that's Doug's relationship with Carson. Like when the question comes up, and it surprised me that he didn't take a harder stance in defending his quarterback. And I know head coaches who will come out and be staunch in their defense of their quarterback. And Doug had a gifted opportunity, and he didn't take it.
Yeah, and a couple opportunities. He had it after the game, and then he had it today after 3 days of introspection.
And after seeing it 1,000 times, all right, I get maybe you didn't get a chance to see it that much, but now you had plenty of opportunity to see that it was a spear. It was an illegal hit.
Yeah, I think my view on it is that what's happening at the podium is much different than what's happening behind the scenes. And I think Doug is very sensitive to the fact that he just can't criticize the league and referees. And he's always been that way, and he'll always will be that way. And I think that's just where it stands. I think Doug certainly respects Carson immensely and has his back, and Carson knows that.
It was interesting because it was brought up to him at the end of the news conference about having an older offensive guy.
Yeah. You
know, take a look at it.
I get that. Yeah. You got a little snippy.
Yeah. That was your question. And I thought it was a great question. And, he got snippy. We can do it. And by the way, he got all gooey about the 12 personnel again. Is that the right offense for Carson Wentz? Because to me, it's not. To me, vertical offense, not 12 personnel offense, is the better offense for Carson Wentz.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, the first part where I asked Howie about whether they need to bring somebody, and I thought Howie did a better job with the job.
Yes.
With the question, saying that we do have Tom Donahoe here, and we are changing the staff a little bit, and we're always looking at to bring new voices in and new perspectives in, whereas Doug just kind of took it as if I was criticizing his offense. That being said, Doug, your offense hasn't been that great this past 2 years. I mean, look at the numbers. And they've done that before. They did it on defense this past offseason when they had Matt Burke brought in, Jim Schwartz guy. Teams do it all the time. I mentioned even the fact that they did it with Marty Morningweg way back in 2003 with James Reed and Brad Childress. So, I mean, teams have done this before. And I think he took that to be critical of him and his offense. But no, I was a little surprised. And then what was your second point about
Well, the right offense with Carson. I mean,
exactly. I mean, look, the tight end situation is an interesting one because again, Zach Ertz has 2 years left in his deal. He didn't take a contract offer extension as did Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson, probably because the team wasn't willing to give him what he wanted because they looked at Dallas Goedert and they can't maybe give that big of an extension to Zach when you have Dallas in the can.
Right.
And can you build an offense around just two tight ends? And we saw they were the two leading receivers this year, but that wasn't the plan going in. You know, I mean, they figured that Dallas was going to take another back seat for another year. It didn't end up being that way. And they need to get faster on the outside. They need to get guys who can get separation at the top of their routes. And that leads to more 11 personnel. So I don't know. I think he says he likes the 12. They're going to run 12, but I think if they get the town here on the outside, you're going to go with that. They love running at 11 personnel. They love guys who can stretch the field. Carson wants guys who can stretch the field. So right. I think that with a bit of a grain of salt.
Yeah. You know, it just strikes me. You know, I brought this up as an analogy that when Doug came over here, he ran the Chiefs offense and the Chiefs offense with Alex Smith at the helm. And I want to run the Chiefs offense with the guy now, Patrick.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
But
that's the offense they need to run. That's the offense that's best. Even if you look at the routes for their tight ends, they're not vertical enough. They need to be more vertical, like Kelsey.
And the thing is, Ertz can run those vertical routes, and so can Goddard.
Yes.
They can, you know. So you want Kelsey, and then if you have a Tyreek Hill guy on the outside. I mean, that was kind of sort of the plan with Deshaun. You know, I think they wanted to run that type of offense. Injuries just killed them. They bit him in the bug. They bit him in the ass.
So, and we're talking to Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline, Inquirer.com. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. When you're looking at Ertz and you're looking at Goddard, what do you do? Because obviously, to me, now's the time you got to make your decision. You know, when you look at those two, you can't have both. And I love Ertz to death, but I actually think it would be better for Carson if you moved to Ertz.
I don't think that they're going to make a decision, actually, anything this. You know, I think there still will be further discussion about possible contract extension. But again, they have him under contract for 2 more years. They have Dallas Goedert under contract for 2 more years. They're not in a position where they have to do something right now. And Dallas will just have to eat it if he doesn't get enough snaps, because what's he going to say? You know what I'm saying?
You're right. But here's my thing. I think to build
you would make a trade for Zach Ertz.
I would do it for a couple of reasons. One, you'll get max value with him now. I mean, let's face it, my man's got, God bless him, but he's gotten beat up, right? I mean, his body has gotten beat up. You get with him, with 2 years left on that deal, you got max value with him, moving him now.
Yeah, I mean, I would have, you know, it all depends upon the player they're getting in return.
Yeah, I agree.
You're going to get a top flight wide receiver.
Top draft pick, yeah, but you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he can get that, and I don't know if that's something that Howie's willing to do. I mean, I do feel like, and he admitted that he does fall in love with his guys too much. But I just feel like he meant that in reference to guys that were aging, like Darren Sproles and the Jason Peters of the world, and not someone who's still only 29 years old and he's still very...
No, I feel you on that. Hey, real quick, because we're up against it, and I really appreciate this. I can go on forever with you. When you look at Malcolm, how do you think that gets resolved?
That's a good question. And Doug, I mean, excuse me, Howie really didn't answer it. I kind of understand why.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, of the older guys, he'd be the guy I'd be most inclined to bring back that has a contract situation. He's got 1 year left in his deal. Malcolm says he's not coming back under that deal, and he certainly has a little bit of leverage because players of that value and that far into their deal. I mean, I think he would be willing to sit out for it, and he can maybe even force a trade. So my view is it's either going to be a trade or they're going to do something, and it would be in the kind of 3 year, 1 year, totally guaranteed second year, maybe the first 4-5 million, and depending upon how, you know, Malcolm plays, certain incentives that he can reach that and get that. So 2 years is probably what Malcolm is looking for, basically guaranteed. And I think they can get it done. But, you know, the issue is, what do they have at safety if he doesn't come back? Brian McLeod is also a free agent. They don't have anyone in the pipeline, do they? No, not really.
I agree. I'm with you. Hey, Jeff, great stuff, man. And great job at the news conference. You asked all the great questions. You do really, really great by the fan base. You ask questions that the people need to know. That makes a great journalist. So continue. Thanks, brother.
All right. Thanks, Anthony. Talk.
There he is, Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. We'll-
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.